Where he was, there was battle. Where he is, there is peace. Peace is the American soldier, warrior of peace. Warriors of Peace, the story of the United States Army and more than 150 years of service to the nation. Presented by the American Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the United States Army Recruiting Service. And now, Task Force Furnace, with Ted Campbell narrating. The story of the Army ground forces in the Arizona desert.
The town of Yuma lies deep in the sunburnt corner of Arizona, where the state touches the country of Mexico. North of Yuma, go 30 miles into the great American desert, through naked brown, oven-hot hills and mountains, and you'll come suddenly upon an airstrip and several neat rows of tents, all of them rolled up at the cuff to keep cool. This is the area of the Army Ground Forces Task Force Furnace. Let me tell you about this operation. It's the struggle of man against the sun. Man against the extreme of hot weather. It's hot, and I don't mean just warm. By mid-morning, the heat begins to spill out of the sky. It pours slowly over these time-wrinkled hills and ancient sands and aged rocks and upon the oldest lumber in the world, petrified wood. As the sun moves higher in the heavens, the heat increases. Becomes like a thing alive. It's thirsty and sucks up moisture ravenously. You don't perspire much, for the heat dries it before you even feel wet. By 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the heat is at its greatest. It flows down from the sky in dancing waves. It flows up from the baked sands in shimmering layers. It comes at you from the sides, from the blowing winds. The heat now has texture. It's thick and heavy, and pushes itself rudely against you. Here is where Task Force Furnace has come to test not only equipment and vehicles, but also the American soldier.
Time, 0700 hours. Temperature, 76 degrees.
0800 hours.
81 degrees.
0900 hours.
89 degrees.
1000 hours.
94 degrees.
1,100 hours.
98 degrees.
1,200 hours.
104 degrees.
1,300 hours.
110 degrees.
1,400 hours.
111 degrees.
1,500 hours.
114 degrees.
1,600 hours.
114 degrees.
...114 degrees at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And this is June. By July and August, the expected mercury reading will be 125 degrees or more. Half as hot as boiling water. Say, how do you like it here, soldier?
Not bad.
Have you been here long?
A bit.
Does it always get as hot as this?
Hotter sometimes.
It's hot enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you hot at all, Corporal?
Mm-mm.
Well, you don't look it.
I'm not uncomfortable. This is dry heat. And you wouldn't be so uncomfortable, mister, if you wouldn't worry about it. Just forget it and enjoy the sunshine.
If you don't mind, I'll enjoy the sunshine in the shade.
Suit yourself.
Does it ever rain out here, Corporal?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, this burnt sand doesn't look like it's ever seen water.
Well, it rained last, let's see, it's June now. Last September, about 9 months ago. It wasn't a heavy rain, just moistened things up a bit.
I must get terribly monotonous looking up at that hot blue sky day after day.
It clouds up a bit every once in a while.
Does?
Yes, sir. Well, just last Wednesday, 3 months ago, I saw a cloud clear as you, just over that mountain yonder, pretty as a picture. She didn't stay long, maybe an hour.
No, I don't believe it.
Well, yes, sir, it's true. You can even ask Colonel Richardson, the commanding officer. He'd tell you.
I paid a call on Lieutenant Colonel Richardson, a 36-year-old Texan. His office was in a trailer. It was neat, orderly, and had the appearance of a small office in a big city. Colonel Richardson looked like a man who had been living out of doors for a decade. During the war, he commanded a task force of tanks, infantry, and artillery. He was awarded the Silver Star with three clusters, the Bronze Star, one cluster, the Legion of Merit, the French Croix de Guerre with Palm, and the Purple Heart with three clusters. He served in five major campaigns, Normandy, Northern France, Ardennes, Rhineland, and Central Germany. He told me a lot of things about Task Force Furnace.
Now, if you look at the map, Mr. Campbell, you'll see that a good portion of the world is arid land. North Africa, the Sahara Desert, Gobi Desert, large part of the United States, and Mexico. That's why we picked a place that is the extreme of arid weather. See, during the war, we found out that the foot soldier in the North African desert just couldn't lug all his equipment complete with rattling mess gear. We learned that the load of the infantrymen in hot places must be reduced by 40%. We plan to do just that. Here, look at this.
What's this, Colonel?
A fatigue jacket made of nylon. Here, hold these in your hand.
Hey, they're light.
Both jacket and trouser weigh 6 ounces altogether.
That's incredible. Are they cool?
Well, we're testing them, trying to compare them with the regular fatigues. If they turn out right, we may have a new summer uniform. And look at this sun helmet.
That's odd looking. Looks like a coal scuttle.
That's exactly what the men call it.
On the invitation of Colonel Richardson, I watched a group of men try on some of the unusual gear.
Now, you wear this helmet with the long end to the rear. Not in front, Private Mills.
Well, that's a funny way to wear it, Sergeant. The part that looks like the front goes to the back.
Now, for your benefit, I'll explain it again. This sun helmet works on the airflow system. As you walk, the air comes under the side of the helmet and flows through the back of your neck, keeping your neck cool. That's why the long part is to the rear. Understand?
Yeah, but what happens if you run, Sergeant?
Well, if you run, the air under your helmet is forced back so fast that perspiration in the back of your neck freezes to ice. You got to make sure to keep bobbing your head so that the ice will flake off. You understand, Fogel?
I understand, Colonel, you're about to inaugurate some interesting tests here at Yuma.
Yes, for the next few months, Mr. Campbell, we're going to test all kinds of material. We're going to find out what is the best equipment in hot places, what is the best clothing for our men in hot climates, and what happens to our men and material when the mercury hits 110 degrees day after day. You see, in this kind of temperature, camera films streak, and flash bulbs go bad, some canned goods will explode, ration crackers and biscuits get mucky, guns wear out faster, and even cigarette light has become a problem. We've got to find a special kind of lighting fluid that won't dry out. This is a test for man and equipment, and the ability of the soldier to not only survive the heat, but be comfortable in it.
Well, if you don't mind, Colonel, I'd like to sit in on as many of the test operations as I can in the next few days.
Glad to have you. Make yourself at home.
Well, thank you. Hey, say, that's a pretty big plane up there.
Yeah, it's a C-47.
They're not going to try to land on that short airstrip, are they?
Oh, sure they are. That airstrip's a mile long. See, appearances are deceptive here in the desert. Sergeant Anderson.
Yes, sir.
Get one of the men to ride one of the trucks along the field. Stir up the dust so the pilot can see which way the wind's blowing.
Yes, sir, right away.
Hey, he's landing already.
Yeah, I guess he must have found the wind direction without me.
Maybe he wet his finger and stuck it out of the cockpit.
Very likely. Well, you'll have to excuse me for a while. That C-47 is full of inspecting officers who are going to pay us a visit. Look around the camp and speak to the other officers and men. I'll be back soon.
Mr. Campbell, the life of these big guns depends on the cooling system. Now, naturally, in this hot desert, we're faced with a special problem. When this cannon fires, a terrific amount of heat is generated. The metal must be cooled at once. Now, we've developed several new methods in fast cooling. Now, we're going to try them all out. How would you like to fire this gun?
Well, my aim's pretty bad, Colonel Heath.
Just close your eyes and pull this cord. Go ahead.
Do you keep the little fingers straight out or curled when you fire?
That depends. If you want the shell to go straight, you naturally keep your fingers straight. And vice versa. Now, just yank the lanyard.
Well, here goes. What sort of a vehicle is this, Captain Lewis?
We call it a snowmobile.
Snowmobile? In the desert?
Yes, sir. This is an improvement over the Weasel. It's good for snow and sand. If you look around, maybe you won't see snow, but you'll certainly see lots of sand. Billions and billions of grains. You want to take a ride?
Sure.
If you have any loose teeth, better hold on to them. All right, driver, let's get going.
No, Mr. Campbell, we've had no cases of sunstroke since we opened this camp last May.
Well, that's very good, Captain Kelly. You must be a good health officer.
I'm a strict one. If I catch any soldier or officer walking about without a hat, I'll pin his ears back.
How about heat exhaustion?
Well, we had one case, and even then it wasn't a legitimate one. It happened last week at Reveille.
All right, fall in, you men. Hurry up. Two, two, ship. Ackerman.
Here.
Bentley.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Clementi.
Here.
Fenton.
Up.
Gordon.
Here.
Mendoza. Mendoza. Hey, Bentley and Gordon, take them up and get them to the hospital. On the double.
Well, Mendoza, how do you feel?
All right, I guess. I don't know why I keeled over.
Hey, what's this about Private Mendoza passing out this morning?
He's all right now, Colonel Richardson.
What happened, Mendoza? Sunstroke?
I don't think so, sir. It was pretty cool.
No, it wasn't sunstroke, Colonel. It was only 71 degrees at 0645. Have you been feeling sick lately, Mendoza?
No, sir.
Had any dizzy spells before?
No, sir, never.
Been taking your salt tablets?
Yes and no.
What do you mean, yes and no? When was the last time you took one?
Oh, 6 days ago.
6 days ago? Now, you should have passed out sooner. You sweated all the salt out of your system.
Captain Kelly, from now on, the taking of salt tablets will be compulsory. What's the proper minimum doses?
Well, Colonel, it depends upon the individual. Some require more, some less. I'd say that 6 tablets per day is an absolute minimum.
All right. We'll make that a rule. As for you, Mendoza, see that hill in front of you?
Yes, sir.
If you pass out again because you didn't take salt tablets, I'll have you move that hill to the other side of camp.
Yes, sir.
And that was the only case of heat exhaustion we've had, and I don't think we'll ever have another case again. It's against Army regulations not to take proper precautions against sun and heat. Sunstroke is forbidden. We've never had a case of it, and we never expect to have trouble with the heat. And we expect the thermometer to hit 125 degrees next month. Whatever the temperature, the men at Task Force Furnace will stay healthy. A soldier gets excellent chow, lots of exercise, and plenty of fresh air. Maybe it's a little hot, but it's fresh.
I noticed that your kitchen is open and completely unscreened. Don't you have any flies around here, or is it too hot even for insects?
Well, it's not too hot for them. As a matter of fact, they breed best of all in hot weather. You see, we have a system that's flyproof. All garbage and dirt is disposed of and covered up, and the tent walls are DDT'd. Now, we had one little fly here a couple of weeks ago, and he had a nervous breakdown.
No.
He flew out of here in terror as fast as he could. Now, this is a clean camp, and it's going to stay that way while I'm here.
Ackerman, Charles J., step up.
Weight 156 and a half.
Step down. Bentley, Ralph C., step up.
Say, Martin, why do they keep weighing us every week?
I don't know. Maybe they're trying to fatten us up.
I weigh the same every week. How about you guys?